This is Rod Peterson on demand. No.
And I think they will go to 24 teams because it's been so great. And they need some good news. They need more teams in the playoffs. It's been 16 since the 80s. Whoever came up with that analysis that home ice would need. Teams were mad that it was the bubbles were going to be Toronto and Edmonton because the Leafs and Oilers might get an advantage. Doesn't mean a thing.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the RP Show. It is hour two of a Flame Tech Football Friday. I'm going to say it again, because we love the guys at Flame Tech. Locally owned and operated industry leaders in commercial and industrial combustion technology. Flame Tech Football Friday. Got to meet that guy. Got to get him in here, Lynch, because they say that he thinks like you and me.
Oh, want to meet him then, that's for sure.
That's why he's sponsoring the show. Coming up, our NFL insider, Tory Gurley, with Tory's tips, fantasy advice for week two in the National Football League. I'm going to re-up on the Quick Six show topics today, and a lot of them have to do with football. But this is fun. I don't, both my parents are gone. Obviously, yours are as well. I don't honor or think about the anniversary of their death. On their birthday, I think about them, but everybody's different.
Yeah, yeah.
And people are writing in today saying September the 18th is the 12-year anniversary of Ron Lancaster's passing, Little General. I get it. I just don't think about commemorating those things.
The passing, that's when he died.
Right. Yeah. The passing, yes. So anyways, we're talking about that night, that very night. Riders were home to the BC Lions. It was the infamous beer-throwing incident where the thousands of fans pelted the BC Lions with beer cans. And I defended the fans. I say they were provoked. By the way, the mayor and the general manager of the Rough Riders brought me into their offices and said, by the way, we agree with you. We just can't say it. I get that a lot, Lynch.
I know you do. I got something here to show you.
But hang on. Lynch said he called. And this is a long time ago, by the way, like over 30 years, over 40 years. But you're saying you called that last Lancaster game and it was in Edmonton.
Yeah.
Aldag said he was on the field and blocked for Ronnie. So I get it. He said he was his rookie year and he blocked. Yeah. But I got a guy listening. I'm not going to say his name. And he says, no, you guys are wrong. My rookie year was in Winnipeg. The last game of the season was at Taylor Field. It was Ronnie's last game. The Rider fans booed him off the field. Backup Huffer went in. Not once, but twice. I'm still in shock. He told me not to say it, but I'm saying it anyways because I'm not outing him. And don't you say it. And you said, no, that's not right. That couldn't have happened. Is that true?
That's the way I thought. My memory says it was in 78. It was in
Edmonton. You and Aldag say the same thing.
Al Ford, color commentator, and it was in a very emotional game. And then the Eskimos left Ronnie go down the field, direct that final
drive. I'm just saying.
To the 2-yard line, and he went over for the winning touchdown.
There's football for you, digging up things from 40 plus
years
ago.
But I wish there was more of that available to us.
Info. I know, but it is what it is. Listen,
here's something to add.
Hang on. No. Okay, go ahead.
The Riders sell more sports merchandise than any of the other football teams, of all, maybe all the teams. And that's still going on, I think.
I don't know. It's been a long time. We don't hear those stats anymore.
No.
Like we used to.
No.
So, hey, here's the quick six show topics. Hit it, Jordan, please. And then we'll bring Tory in. Number one, Alouettes owner Gary Stern says, at the ownership level, they believe the CFL will play in 2021. That's plan A. Business is normal, stadium full. Plan B, they can play and make money without fans. I don't necessarily believe it, but what this is telling me is the owners are saying we're going to pound that square peg in the round hole come hell or high water. That's what I'm hearing.
Glad to hear that.
Point, well, I'm not.
Hey.
What?
Talking about teams coming up, how about the Big Ten, eh?
Yes.
Changed things. They were going to be off for the year. Weren't going to have football all year. A lot of pressure there from business in the States in Minneapolis, Chicago, Detroit, etc. And the Big Ten is opening up, and it's going to be playing starting October 23rd with an eight-game schedule. So that's
yes.
The power of money, eh?
So back to the Quick Six show topics. Point two, Thursday night football last night, the lid lifter to week two, Battle of Ohio, Browns over the Bengals 35-20 in a score that flattered the Browns, as a matter of fact. It was tighter than that. Point three, what's your game of the week in the NFL? I never asked for yours yet, but mine is Falcons at Cowboys, so be thinking about that. Point four, Stanley Cup final is set. Tampa Bay versus Dallas. I've got the Lightning to win the Stanley Cup. It begins Saturday. Point five, the NBA playoffs continue. Are you following it anymore?
No.
Me either. Point six, Connor Bedard won't play games in Sweden. He's just going to practice. We'll cover that a little later on. But let's bring in Tory Gurley now from Tory's Tips from the Champions Podcast. I don't know where to start with this guy, our good friend. How you doing, Tory?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good. So you've upped your game, it would appear, there in the podcast world. Headphones, microphone, what's going on? What's new since the last time we've chatted with you?
Yeah, so obviously, you know, with FanDuel being able to partner, I decided to come out with my own podcast, exclusively fantasy football, as well as betting tips for the NFL. And last week was our launch, and this week we're back at it again, and we're feeling pretty good about our picks and our plays.
Where do you record the podcast, by the way? Because it looked very nice, very condo, high-rise, Toronto-ish. Where are you doing it?
Yeah. So it's downtown Toronto, partner with Ross Clark. He's one of the best producers in the area. And, you know, we met up, and I have my co-host, Monty Moss. He's in New Jersey, so he's doing it remote. And it turned out extremely well. And the album, not the album, but the cover was made, not the album cover, but the cover of the podcast was made by my wife, Kim. So she put her special touch on it, and we love it. You know, we're having a lot of fun, and we're just trying to be like you, RP.
Oh, yeah. Well, Champions Club podcast, by the way. And my wife named the title of my best-selling book, by the way, Green Magic, the story of the 07 Riders Grey Cup Championship. So when you can bring your wife in and include them, it makes life a lot easier. You figured that out, Tory. Congratulations. Didn't take you as long as me or Lynch.
It's called and, great coaching. You know, I listen to guys like you, you know.
Right. Well, okay, Lynch, go ahead. What do you got for Tory?
Listen, I'm really impressed with the Green Bay Packers on the weekend. The quarterback was just Aaron Rodgers was just fantastic in that game. But I wonder about the Minnesota Vikings. Always a favorite to win it in that division and don't. And on their very high, Cousins, the quarterback, was a great catch for them, getting him 4 or 5 years ago. I don't think Cousins has lived up to the expectations for that team. Would you agree?
I wouldn't say Kirk Cousins hasn't lived up to the expectations, but they had a lot of turnover in this organization. They had a few injuries as well as a lot of players opting out due to COVID. So on the defensive side of the ball, some of your all pros like Everson Griffson, Danielle Hunter, these guys are out. They're not on a team anymore, or, you know, they're out for injury, and that can hurt you. And then in the secondary, they're starting two or three rookies in that NFC North division. And when you go against guys like Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford, you're leaving yourself open to get beat over the top if you're out there with some kids trying to defend some all-pro type receivers and quarterback.
If I may, a couple things I want to interject here, by the way. Tory's Tips are brought to you by Wheaton Kia, Albert, and Avonhurst. So I want to thank Greg Gilbertson and the crew down there for coming on board, as are Friday's John Frenzy appearances, brought to you by Wheaton Kia. You know that, right, Dupes? You got that? But hey, Tory, there's a thing called self-scouting. And before we look ahead to week two, I want to know how you did with your fantasy tips in week one. I would suggest pretty good because Kyler Murray balled out at San Francisco. How did your boy Hunter Renfrow do in his return to Carolina, by the way, statistically? How would you say you did in your tips in week one for Wheaton Kia?
I give myself a C, and I'm extremely hard on myself. I was very accurate about Kyler Murray. But when it came to Hunter Renfrow, he really didn't do too well for me. In his homecoming game back with the Carolina Panthers, with him playing with the Vegas Raiders. But Julio Jones gave me a lot of numbers, a lot of points, as well as Calvin Ridley. So just having a nucleus of guys being able to get you a bunch of points, that's what it's all about. And I wish Nick Chubb would have put up that performance last Sunday instead of waiting until yesterday to ball out against the Cincinnati Bengals. He was another guy who I was extremely high on, but the head coach, Kevin Stefanski, he doesn't know how to play with his new toys yet. You know, he's still getting acclimated to having guys of Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry. And then when you have two running backs and Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb, sometimes it can be overwhelming with getting those talented guys the ball. So I'm quite sure as the weeks continue to progress, I will have a better read for these coordinators. And my rosters, they should hit the way they're supposed to.
Who Dupes tells me that about an hour ago you sent in your fantasy tips for this week, your cheat sheet, if you will. So what do you got? Have you got him in front of you? This is the winner, folks.
Yes, sir.
Tory's FanDuel team. What do you got?
Yes, sir. So for my FanDuel lineup, I will go with Kyler Murray. Got a running back with him. He's a hot hand. Everyone saw the performance of Aaron Rodgers. We know Aaron is that guy, but if you're trying to get bang for your buck, having a guy like Kyler Murray or Cam Newton as your quarterback, you know, they're dual threats, and there's a good bargain price for him. So getting him for $8,000. Aaron Jones, the way the Packers was able to move up and down the field, once they got towards the end zone, you can hand it off to him. He's always a good back. Raheem Mostert. Now, he might not be as popular, but when it comes to them playing against the New York Jets right now, they are bottom feeders. I mean, the Jets are a really bad football team. Adam Gase, that defense, they're atrocious. And I think with Kyle Shanahan taking the 49ers out there to New York, I think they're going to be able to handle business. See a lot of Raheem Mostert catching the ball out of the backfield as well as getting handoffs so they can get the win and get out of there. Calvin Ridley going against the Cowboys secondary. Everybody knows that Dallas secondary isn't as strong. Whenever you have Julio Jones as a teammate, all the focus is going to be on him. So that's going to leave Calvin Ridley one-on-one backside, and he should be able to make a lot of plays. Also in the slot, another receiver who I love is Robert Woods. If you watch the game Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys, Robert Woods looked extremely well. Also, he's coming up on a contract extension. Sean McVay and Robert Woods' team, they're closing in on that. So usually when a guy gets paid, when he gets a new payday, he wants to go out there and prove his worth. So I think this would be a great time to have Robert Woods on your lineup. And last but not least, Julio Jones. He is still that man. He balls out. I have the Dallas Cowboys beating the Atlanta Falcons. But with that said, I still love Julio Jones going out there and putting up big numbers in a dome at Cowboys State, well, at Jerry's World. I can see him having a big game as well. And last but not least, you have Dallas Goedert of the Philadelphia Eagles tight end. Zach Ertz is the number one guy, but Goddard really has been playing extremely well. So I think Carson Wentz will continue to lean on him because the way he looked against the Washington Redskins in week one, he balled out. So I think you continue to roll with the hot hand and just and let those guys make plays. But that is Tory's Tips by FanDuel.
The Cleveland Browns played very well, looked terrific there. Really looked like a real good football team. And do you think that's any influence there of Chris Jones? Did he help? I'm sure he's helping somewhere, but do you hear about him at all?
No, I'm not going to give him credit. Chris, he's great at scouting, but I don't think he has anything to do with the product on the field on Sundays. I think that falls back on Kevin Stefanski and, you know, just the way – they went out and performed last night. It was just a bounce back game. The Baltimore Ravens made the Browns look pedestrian. You know, made them look like the old Browns. But whenever you go against inferior competition of a rookie quarterback and Joe Burrow, you're not afraid of him. I mean, the Browns from top to bottom, they have the talent. It's just being able to put it all together on game day. And that's something that they bounced back and did yesterday in that showcase on Thursday night.
Look, you had Dallas to lose in L.A. You played for Mike McCarthy. Were you surprised he blew that game late? Because I don't know him. You played for him, so you know him. But watching that tells me all I need to know about Mike McCarthy. Arrogant. Doesn't feel like he should be challenged. Not impressed with his Cowboys debut. Do you see that coming?
Yeah. Of course. Remember, I told you that the Cowboys were going to lose week one. And you were like, huh? I was like, Rod,
I know, but on his blunder, did you think he would be the reason?
No, I wouldn't blame the loss on him. It was so many things that went into it. Dak Prescott, you can tell he's not comfortable whenever he drops back. He's still thinking. And we all know whenever you play football, there's a little saying, when you think, you stink. And that's something you can't do. You have to be able to you have to be able to react and anticipate, and that's something that it takes time, you know, as a maturation stage of him getting into that playbook, because he literally he had nothing to do with the Cowboys in the offseason. You know, he was at home, and being at home throwing balls to your receivers is not the same being critiqued and practicing with the coaches in the building. So he's only been around for a couple of weeks, so it's going to continue to to work itself out. CeeDee Lamb, there are things I watched him do where, you know, he would make some catches, but then when it came to understanding down and distance in football, there was a huge fourth and three. And we all know as a receiver that you should never run your route short. And Dallas and Mike McCarthy put him on a drag route. And instead of him getting the 3 yards, he got tackled for 1 yard, and that really changed the game. You know, so there are a lot of things that went into that ball game, and I think Dallas is going to be okay. I love the emergence of Alden Smith, someone that's been removed from football for 5 years. He really played extremely well. He dominated his side of the ball, but now that's going to put pressure on DeMarcus Lawrence, because if I'm paying you $21 million a year, I want to see you hit the quarterback. I want to see you do something, but just being out there collecting the game check, that's something he can't do. So we'll see how that goes. And then with Van Der Esch being out with the collarbone injury, that hurts the defense. You know, you guys are extremely thin at linebacker. So now you're relying on Jalen Smith to anchor down. So, but this week, I love the Dallas Cowboys to go out there and bounce back against the Atlanta Falcons in a high-scoring game.
I know, but the Cowboys have like 5 or 6 guys on the injured linebackers on the injured list, including Sean Lee. Yeah, I know. It wasn't all McCarthy. I know, but 422 yards against on defense, a quarterback that's uncomfortable. I expected more, Torrey. Okay, one more from Lynch before we let you go.
The Jets, New York Jets, amaze me, Torrey. How can they consistently be so bad? Never get any better. I mean, they're just a terrible football team.
Yeah, that organization is just a joke. Obviously, when they let go of Jamal Adams, and, you know, they traded him away because they didn't want to pay him, and he was the best player on the team, that lets you know this organization. And, you know, I'm really close friends with Mark Sanchez, but that butt fumble is still, like, floating around out there. So they just have some bad mojo in New York. And I think it's just time for them to – you know, take a page out of Cleveland Browns' book and fire the coach and bring in someone else. But it's tough. I mean, I wasn't a big fan of Sam Darnold coming out of Southern Cal, but a lot of coaches and scouts were extremely high on him. But as you can see, he's someone that's never comfortable in the pocket. And whenever the offensive line is not doing a good job, it's only going to make the quarterback look even worse. And it's just all bad in New York. And I feel sorry for those dudes.
What's your weekend looking like? What's going on?
Still working, baby. So you know how this goes. Getting ready for football. I have another game I have to break down before we get ready for Sunday, and just preparing for another week. Week two of the NFL season.
Well, listen, I just saw your Instagram. Like, what is going on, man? You've gone full on, dove into the deep end head first on analysis. Now your picks. Like, you – looks like you're living your best life. Would I be right?
Yes. You know, whenever you get married, you know, things like the blessings flow. And I think that was the best thing, is having Kim in my life forever. It's really opened my eyes up and motivated me to go out and be a better man. So – as long as I continue to keep myself around guys like yourself, where I can just bounce ideas off of, I think the sky's the limit.
It is. All right, Torrey. Thanks so much. My best to Kim. Enjoy the games, and we'll catch up next week.
Great talking to you again.
Yes, sir. You guys take care.
All right. The great Torrey Gurley joining us from Toronto with Torrey's tips for Wheaton Kia.
He's terrific.
Yes, he is. Yeah. As is Wheaton Kia. Albert Navenhurst.
Right on.
We'll take a timeout and come back. We got Willie Jefferson coming up. We'll digest all of that, try to answer some of the viewers' questions that we didn't get to with Torrey. It's the RP Show's Football Friday for Flame Tech. You're watching on Game Plus TV Network, and you're listening and watching around the world on the Rod Peterson Broadcasting Network.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. They're telling me that we're working on Willie Jefferson, and if we don't get him, it'll be another day. It's not the end of the world. For the love of Pete, Lynch and I got enough to talk about, don't we?
Oh, sure do. Oh, but amazing, eh? We were concerned we wouldn't have.
By the way, I wasn't.
Oh, I was. When they get with no season?
Don't worry.
I panic with no season.
Oh, man, listen, can I indulge me for a second? We got John Chick on the line from Jacksonville last hour.
Yeah.
Jaguars, Colts, alum, along with Riders Ty Katseskos. Here's Lynch's questions. Are there any former CFL guys around you down there? Is there any talk of the CFL down there?
I really wonder if there was some.
I know you do, and that's the problem.
What? What do you mean?
There's a bigger world than the Canadian Football
League. That's right. I agree.
And you're never, at 83, you're not getting that now. But my point is, I'm not worried about having things to talk about on this show with no CFL season. That's all. I just want to put that out there.
Okay.
The NBA's Western Conference final starts tonight in Florida. Canadian Jamal Murray leads the Denver Nuggets into Game 1 against LeBron James and the Lakers. Out east, the Miami Heat have a 2-0 lead on the Boston Celtics. Heat won last night, 106-101. Quick turnaround for the Tampa Bay Lightning after winning the Eastern Conference final over the Islanders last night in Edmonton. The Bolts have one day off before they open the Stanley Cup final against the Dallas Stars. The Toronto Blue Jays hope a change of scenery is a recipe for success after experiencing major pitching problems and three ugly losses in New York against the Yankees. The Blue Jays are in Philly today for a doubleheader opening a four-game series. Toronto's 4.5 games up on the Seattle Mariners for the final playoff spot in the American League. Justin Thomas can sleep in before trying to build on his strong first-round performance at the U.S. Open. The American had the lead after day one at 5-under. The all-Canadian threesome of Corey Connors, Mackenzie Hughes, and Adam Hadwin also have an afternoon tea time at Winged Foot. The sports update for the Tap Brewhouse and drive-through liquor store at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua in Regina. It's your place for all the weekend needs, as it is a football Friday. And for Ben Cahoon's G2G protein bars, the best you'll ever have. 7 amazing flavors. RP Show viewers get 20% off with the promo code RPSHOW. Order yours now at g2gbars.ca. I did have somebody say to me the other day that people in Saskatchewan are lost without Rough Rider football, and I would suggest that's accurate. Would you say you're lost without CFL football this summer?
Yeah.
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 You are. But that, I don't want to sit here every day for 2 hours and talk about what the CFL should do or what it's not doing or what it might do. Is that a problem?
No, not at all. Not at all. And people love football. So they'll be watching and talking to us. No question about that.
Well,
I'm like so many here. Just love the Rough Riders and the Canadian Football League. And I've loved them.
Well, so do I. But
yes, you can.
You and I have a lot of talks.
You get outside the circle.
In these rides to and from the studio. And it's just where your mind is.
Yeah.
And my mind's not on what could have been or what should be. My mind's on what is. And actually, you brought up a pretty good point about the Huskies practicing.
Yeah.
We got to get that Huskies helmet down here. Can somebody get Flory to answer DuPont back? But the Huskies are practicing. The Rams are practicing. And you're saying that they're going to play? I've heard rumors.
There's a rumor they're going to try to work out playing some game in October, at the end of October. And it's great for both cities, eh? For the teams are out there. They're practicing. The kids are fantastic and really fired up and enjoying it. With full regalia on and packs and hitting, and it's wonderful. But I hope they can get a couple of games in somehow. But I guess they can't go interprovincial, interprovincial, eh?
Not as it stands now.
No.
I don't understand. Do we want to go down this coronavirus thing? Because I think now might be a good time to do it. Everybody's ripping on Ambrosi because the CFL's not playing, and I really feel it's not his fault. People are ripping on the president of the SJHL, the commissioner of the WHL, various leagues that aren't playing. It's got nothing to do with those guys or the sport governing bodies. They all want to play. That's their job. It's all on the government right now. And then I see sports people that are out in the mountains or here or there, 2-3 provinces away. And I'm like, did they not say no unnecessary travel? Was it necessary that you go and do that? So I just don't understand what the rules are for some and not for others.
There's rules for Canada and different ones for the states. Obviously, look what happened to the Pac-10 and the Big 12. They were not going to play this year, but so much pressure was generated because of the money involved. The Pac-10 is opening up on the 22nd of October, and I believe the Big 12 is going to be later on. So they're going to be all the conferences you know in the states you're familiar with. They, by the end of October, will all be operating this year.
Yeah.
To heck with the COVID.
Sure, and that's American college football. But with regards to what's going on in Canada, I'm seeing our viewers here. A viewer in Ottawa says, I miss three down football. We all do, and we could sit here every day and hold hands and talk about how much we miss everything. Rick Haglund says, how about selling some Ryder clothes to keep green over the winter?
Good idea.
How about it? Ask them.
Good idea.
Go look at their Instagram and Twitter. We're not their marketing arm or PR arm. Why would I sit here and tell you to go buy Ryder stuff or TyCast stuff? They're not even telling you.
Not a bad idea, though. Marlene, not a bad idea, Rick.
Donald Mitchell in the Middle East. It is not Randy's fault. The owners have let Randy be the meat shield for their failings.
A meat shield? Huh? That's quite a name, eh?
He's in the military, so he would
tough
know.
Tough for anybody.
I don't think it sounds good. I don't know what it is, but it doesn't sound good.
Tough for anybody being the commissioner of the Canadian Football League. But Michael Cohen, for 8 years, did a tremendous job. I don't care what anybody says. I thought he was a terrific commissioner. The best we've had, really. And things haven't gone as well since then. It's been tough for Randy. But some of those things that he's done, like going to Europe right off the bat when he took over, leave me cold.
I guess I don't think how leagues work is a whole lot different now than it used to be. And I haven't been out of it for that long. But I don't see any change or things getting better until they can get everybody on the same page to go in the right same direction.
Oh, no kidding.
And you got some people that are on board with CFL 2.0, the global experiment, and you got some teams that are dead set against it.
Yeah.
And I think that what it appears like is like the CFL is all over the place with where they should go and where they want to go. And that's why I don't see anything changing.
Why wouldn't they all, the keys people from each team, get together in the CFL head office in Toronto right now and start to make plans? And have something to announce for sure by Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Hang on. Let's have some fun with the viewers today. This is great. Mike in Toronto says, all the CFL Twitter feeds are full of the CFL fan base. I can't watch a fan base. Can't wear a fan base either. Hang on. Oh, Donald Mitchell says, a meat shield is somebody who takes the bullet for others. I figured. Listen, hadn't heard it put that way before.
Never heard before.
Vaughn Reese, my childhood friend, says, what? No, ha, 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 for Kawhi losing out? Go Nuggets. That was a couple days ago, Vaughn. Get with it. We're all over that, right, Dupes? A couple days ago. And by the way, we don't troll people for losing. Never. Ever. I know there's a lot of people that don't like me. Other teams in my days with the Pats and Ryder, I never, ever, ever trolled or scorned anybody for losing out alone. Never. Don't do that. And by the way, why don't you go ask Kawhi? Because I don't think he regrets leaving Toronto.
No.
Jack Fulton in Alberta says, say this the other day, a church bulletin sent out saying apparently it's okay for 500 people to go to Home Depot, but not to church. So this Sunday, our service will be at Home Depot. in plumbing, bring your Bible. Unquote. That's funny. In terms of different rules for different people, it's all a very confusing time.
It sure is. It sure is. That's summarized it completely.
The comments are just coming in like crazy. Can you put the one up from Miranda here? She says, as someone who is not only a fan, but I also have a cousin in the CFL, I love the game, but I know if they were playing with what they were offering them, it wouldn't have been a good situation for them. Well, life's about choices, and the one thing the players have to realize, and I don't know, maybe it's because of our advanced age, Lynch, and the gray around our temples, there will always be a lineup of players behind you if you don't want to do it. Period.
How good are they, though?
Yeah, does that matter?
Okay.
I mean, with the global experiment with like Nick Lewis comes in here. I need to get you and Nick Lewis together because I could go out for a walk and have them on together. You guys could talk.
Okay.
Because Nick thinks the quality of the play is important. We can't go to an all-Canadian, all-star league in the CFL, which some people think that we should, right?
Yep.
Back to the 50s, 60s model, sure. 40s, 50s, 60s model. Nick says no because the quality of play will suffer. And I said, Nick, if they cared about the quality of play. They would not be cramming Europeans and Mexicans down our throat that can't play at to the caliber of what we're used to in the CFL. Yeah. Agree or disagree?
Oh, I agree 100%. Yeah. I mean, I don't understand why he did it. It's a mystery. When he first took over, I just don't understand it. Well, I know what he wants, a European contract for the CFL, but oh my God, a long way to go.
That's exactly what it is. And it's a long play.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no doubt, but they don't have a lot of time.
No, they sure don't.
Don't have a lot of time.
I don't understand it. I hope they're working on something. I wish they let us know, because fans really want to see Canadian football. I am convinced of that. As a whole, football people in Canada want to see Canadian football.
No doubt.
And this place, of course, it's exceptional. And they're all crying and asking, you know, what's going on? I mean, I imagine you get grabbed by somebody everywhere you go. You want to talk football.
Not as many as you used to.
Well, no, that's right. But
a lot of people are moving on.
Yeah.
Jeff in Calgary says, that is a good point, Rod. What's a good point? About they're not being concerned about the quality of play? Because they're not.
Yeah.
John Ohm in Winnipeg. He says, well, who's your team in the Stanley Cup Finals, Rod? I've said Tampa Bay. I'm not moving off of it, but I'm not overly confident. I'm worried they're too beat up. One more, Lynch. I know you got to go. From Metal Shingle Guy. He said, the last home game Lancaster was booed off the field. Next week was in Edmonton, and they gave a standing ovation to him. If that isn't the most Ryderville story of all time, that makes sense. You're both right. Do you want to say, tell the viewers that missed it, though, how you were right? You were right. Lancaster's last game.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. He just said it. But his last home game, my friend from Winnipeg who said he played in that game, he's like, no, I was there. Lancaster was booed off the field twice. Now does it all make sense to you?
Yeah. Okay. There it is. That's good. That's 1978.
Yeah. Just a couple of days ago. We're going to take a timeout. John Frenzy's appearances, as always, brought to you by Wheaton Kia, following up Tori's tips for Wheaton Kia. Can you tell we love Wheaton Kia? See you, Frenzy.
Okay, Rob. Been great.
All right, has been. Dupes will be joining us in the studio next, and we'll be right back. It's the RP Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work, follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it right now. Oh, yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back. Shooting off a text to my buddy Zinger. Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
Zinger News. Said they're going some MS treatments. Just wanted to send him out.
Oh, that's awesome.
Heated show today. Enjoying some of it over there.
Of course. It's a nice view to sit on the couch with the feet up and coffee and you know, scour social media.
I'd love to be able to do that, but I don't think that's ever going to happen.
You don't think so?
No.
I don't think so either.
Lift your head up for a second. You got a booger in you.
Oh, thank you. Which one? Left cave
you're
or right? My right?
It's a little left. It's a little Kleenex. Not a booger, but you left something behind.
Oh.
If that wasn't the most guy thing ever done on television
exactly.
Before.
That's good.
Friends do that, right?
Hey.
Lynch's fly was down on the way in here, and I had to tell him. I said, what are you advertising? That was my dad's line. I wish you could have met my dad. Flying low?
So I don't know. Something like that.
I wish you could have met my dad.
I do too.
But as you say, you felt like you did because you came to his memorial.
Yeah. Big time.
Mandy in Edmonton's watching, and she says, where can I find past episodes? You've had great guests on here. Somebody has told her YouTube, I assume?
YouTube, you can find all the clips on YouTube. All the episodes are on Facebook. So go back on our Facebook page, and all the full episodes are there. They're all there. 319 of them. 300, and today's would be 320.
Today's 321.
Today's 321?
321. That's how I remembered it.
Ah.
Who's running our social media? Is it Alan the intern? Because I like it. Oh, it's Ryan Barocco. It's technical Ryan, technical producer Ryan. You can pick your friends, you can pick your nose, but you can't pick your friend's nose. How do you know? Try it. See how far you get.
Icebreaker.
Big game tonight. As Jeff, the Stamps fan, has reminded us, CFL Sim League tonight. In this very studio, we'll be calling the 10-3 Calgary Stampeders at the 9-3 Saskatchewan Roughriders. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, me too. It's going to be fun. The Stamps and the Riders, they're the two hottest teams. They're the two best teams in the CFL, Sim. It's going to be great. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, the Riders are coming off that loss in the Banjo Bowl. Calgary's coming off the sweep of Edmonton. It'll be really fun.
For sure. Edmonton has lost four in a row. As they take on Montreal this week in our Sim League. It's exciting. You can follow all the information there at CFL Sim. All the info is there. Chris in Toronto, Chris Bird, Argos fan, says, look, if the CFL doesn't take steps to become the solid number two league in the world, a European league will step up and do it. CFL is already the number two pro league in the world, and I think we all know that. Don't we? I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know what it's going to take. As Rick Campbell said, you get caught looking too far down the road, you're going to trip over what's right in front of you. And I think what's right in front of you is a pretty big stumbling block for the Saskatchewan Roughriders. I wish, or for the CFL, I wish that Randy Ambrosi wouldn't even talk about global right now. Don't even talk about it. Tell me how you're going to save this league, Randy. See, we've been all over the place today in this Flame Tech Football Friday, and it's been good. John Chick started preaching.
He did.
Literally. You don't have to go to church on Sunday. Chick's got it handled.
He did. He went off in the first hour. We have had a little bit of everything. The CFL discussion's not going to end anytime soon because everybody's got a different idea on how to fix it. And the only time people want to tell you how to fix something is when it's broken, right?
So that's
the biggest sign that something needs to happen because the more people keep coming in, they feel like the job's not getting done, so they have to step in and try and help. Well, I'll give them a suggestion. Here's what you can do. Here's what you can do. And most of it's, not practical or not the right direction to take, but that's their job in the CFL head office is to figure out how to get out of this mess. That's what they're paid to do.
Janet Grasick writes in. She says, I knew your dad at Luther. That's going back a day or two. Then you would have known Lynch, too, because Lynch and my dad were classmates.
We've heard the stories.
A million times. Unbelievable. That reminds me, I'm doing an interview with the Leader Post this afternoon. They're interviewing me about John Lynch. They're doing a big feature on him.
Wow.
That'll be fun.
That's very cool.
I'm already cooking up in my head what I'm going to say. I got some good quotes on that. My family feels of Lynch like he's family. I think that's evident.
Oh, yeah. Clearly.
My one brother, Lynch is a treasure, should be buried. That's from my brother, not me. Lynch loves it.
Oh, yeah.
Mandy in Edmonton says, Rod, CFL needs to make plan B, plan A. Plan to operate without many fans in the stands, then integrate back. Hello. She's talking to the CFL about that. I think it's been very clearly shown that the Canadian government and the provincial governments are dealing with this a lot different than the American government and the state governments, right?
Yes.
So to sit and watch 6,000 fans in Cleveland last night or 17,000 in Arrowhead last week doesn't really amount to a hill of beans to me today as to what the CFL is going to do. It doesn't. And then when those cases skyrocket there anyways, doesn't make me believe that the governments up here north of the border are going to change anything. Because on one hand, they're getting applauded, Canadian governments, for keeping the safety of the citizens here first. Then why would they open up football stadiums until there's a vaccine? Hang on. Don, again, by the way, says, so Football Canada supports Doug Flutie's Maximum Football. I wonder why the CFL and U Sports aren't involved yet. Another opportunity lost. Do you have any intel on that?
I know U Sports is looking at it, at doing something and trying to put something out. But again, it becomes a branding thing and a money thing, right? I mean, it's expensive. When EA Sports, you know, publishes the Madden franchise, EA Sports pays the NFL for the use of their players, the use of their names, the use of their likeness, and all of the rest. Doug Flutie's Maximum Football and Canuck Play isn't a massive revenue-generating operation yet. It's a small video game, but they've done great work, and they're making great strides. They're just, they don't have the pocketbooks to pay the CFL to say, hey, we want to use all your likeness. And the CFL, you know, wants to partner with somebody that's going to represent what their league looks like. So they're really careful about that. When they see Madden, they don't want an inferior product, right? And we know it's not quite the same as Madden. It hasn't been around as long. There's not as many millions of dollars being pumped into the technology on a daily basis, but it's a great video game. We know it's good for the brand of the CFL. They have to see it that way. You have to get them to realize, hey, we're not getting Madden. Once they let go of that, they're going to be interested. And same thing with U Sports and things like that. There's got to be some more money driven. And the fact is that you have to sell millions of copies of the video game to make money. Millions, right? They're only selling, you know, I'd have to look up the numbers again, but they're not selling 100 million copies of Madden every year, right? And that's in a population of, what, 350 million that they have, or 300 million in the States? We only have 30 million Canadians. So based just simply on how many people are playing video games, and then of that, how many people are playing sports video games, it is still fairly niche. So even if we get 100,000 signatures on to buy, like even if you bought every, if every sold out stadium across Canada bought the video game, it still wouldn't be enough to make money.
There you go.
Think about how video games cost.
Boom.
You need to sell a lot.
Boom. Well, here's what I know. Interesting thing about gaming. What I see with Doug Flutie's Maximum Football is a lot of popularity. I mean, when we tweet about him or they tweeted, there's a lot of reaction, as much as there is to any actual CFL tweets, to be honest with you. So that it has a fan base.
Yeah.
But as far as our involvement, I don't know what yours is, but I show up and call these sim games and I go home and I have a riot, and that's about the end of it. I don't play video games anymore. Funny story. My wife was buying me all kinds of video games that I asked for years ago when the kids were young. And it was always Madden, the latest Madden, the latest NCAA football, the latest NHL. That's what I played.
Yeah.
But when I launched the Sports Cage, I just literally had no time to play video games anymore. Here's the difference in what we do here in the sports talk business. And it's more so Clark now, but when you guys asked me to do this show, I knew that it was a 24-hour mental proposition. Lining up guests, what you're going to talk about, right? Thinking 3-4 days in advance. And I wasn't overly interested in doing it because the past job just drained me, killed me. I didn't have time to play video games.
Right.
I was lining up all the guests for this. When you're just calling hockey games and football games, which was my life before that, that's nothing. To me, it's nothing.
I know.
So now it's back, and now that I've kind of dabbled back into the gaming world, and Game Plus just loves what we're doing with the CFL Sim because they're a gaming channel. I think we said last week on this show, look, I don't know what you guys are into out there, but as I've looked, there are gaming people, people that play video games for a living, that have 10 million followers on Instagram. Look, I'm not that bright, but I'm not that stupid either. I can see what I don't mind hitching my wagon to. It's the gaming.
It's so popular.
So I'm having so much fun with it.
Yeah, and that's the tough part. You know, gaming is revolutionizing, you know, the world a little bit, and it's become sports for us, right? And we're doing the same things. As a kid, we used to sit in front of the TV and watch sports. Now the kids sit in front of the TV or the computer screen and watch other people play sports on video games. We're still following it. They're tracking the standings. They're seeing stats. They know the names. They follow them on social. We're doing all the same things they do with gamers, what we did with athletes. It's the same behaviors. You know, you think a kid sitting in front of a TV screen watching YouTube video games for hours is a waste. But it's the same thing watching you, like watching people kick a ball around or shoot a puck around.
Who would have thought that?
You're not getting out and playing the game. You're still just watching them play the game. right?
It's the same mentality. Believe me, I didn't believe it either at first until I was sold on it.
Yeah.
Two last comments. Here you go. Before we break, Chris Bird, clearly the CFL has a big job on their hands to get to post-COVID play. CFL 2.0 is not going to get the league there, nor will the video game ideas. But all of these ideas, executed well, could add to the success of the league. That's from Chris Bird, Argos fan in Toronto. Larry Dye, whom I believe is in BC, says, will CFL Sim have a Grey Cup experience for a few select fans? Let's chomp on that in the break. Larry, you think about it. Let's come back in the overtime and talk about it a little more. But let me just say this. It's so old me to sit and think about what the CFL needs to do. I don't think about that anymore. We come up here with Lynch, and there's a reason we call him John Frenzy. CFL needs to do this. Writers need to do this. I haven't even thought about that, Lynch, till last Friday when you were in the car with me. I don't think about that. I'm thinking about people, helping them individually pull their lives out of the ditch, how to get better in COVID. I think about positive things that have an effect. So I'm not thinking about what the CFL has to do. But I will think about a Grey Cup experience for CFL Sim. That might be fun.
That might be real fun.
So that and more when we come back. Plus, Cobra Kai! It's Flame Tech Football Friday on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back. Howdy, Mark. You know who I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Football guy in
Hamilton. Yeah, I know.
In Hamilton saying, hey. He's watching. We got to the bottom of a lot of things today, by the way. And here's one. On the anniversary of Ron Lancaster's passing, 12 years ago today, it just so happened that we had Lynch in the bunker, and he called Lancaster's last game. Were you busy when we went over this? Did you see what went down?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so this is awesome. So Lynch says, I called his last game. It was in Edmonton, and he went on a last-minute drive, and he went all the way up the field, and the Eskimos let him score. They let him score. It was such a thing, and Ronnie was all teary-eyed, and when it was over, he said to me, Lynch, it's over. It's over, Lynch. It's over. And he was crying, and I was crying, and the Eskimos let him score, and he got a standing ovation in Edmonton. Guy wrote me and goes, I played in Lancaster's last game, and it wasn't in Edmonton. It was in Regina, and Ronnie got booed off the field. A guy in a whole other different part of the country is watching the show going, I don't think you guys got it right. So then our viewers got on it, the Rod Squad, and they determined that his last home game was against Winnipeg, and he got booed off the field. It happened. But his last game was in Edmonton, and what Lynch said happened. And we tied that all up today and put a little bow on it.
Wow.
That's cool, eh?
That is cool. That's so Saskatchewan, though.
So Canada. So CFL.
To boom off the field in Regina.
Yes. I'm so over that.
But the other part is so Canada. Oh, for sure. And then to come together. Because as you're telling that story and you're saying, well, actually, it was in Regina, got booed off the field. I'm like, there's the green glasses. Everything's perfect. Everything's great.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
That's how I remember it.
Exactly.
Thing. Yeah.
We do. We remember all the great moments, right? We don't remember the bad ones.
Monty's watching in Saskatoon, and for once, I agree with him. The old Huskies equipment manager. He says, it's time for a haircut, Dupes. I'm starting to think he's right. It's time. What's your mom think?
She hasn't said anything much yet. She kind of likes it, but she kind of gave me a shot on the weekend. She's like, you know, it really sucks when you're in those mid stages and you don't know what to do. You know, the growth, mid growth. I'm like, so you're
what
saying
are you
it doesn't look good?
Is it hard to shampoo? So I've never had my hair that long ever in my life.
You know,
so I wouldn't know.
No, it is. It's tough. It's hard to dry. Got to use a blow dryer, get it dry because it just stays wet. So I hate having wet hair. I'm going to go a little longer, but it won't last forever. Don't worry.
It's your head.
I saw the graphic, and it was the stages of Tom Brady, the clean here when he was then the long hair, then he went here. And then, so This is just my long hair phase, and then we'll grow out of it, and it'll never come back again.
Stephen in Prince Albert says, have Vanstone back on again and talk about it. He covered it in one of his Rider History YouTube videos. Oh, there's your mom. I love it, son. You've got a great head of hair. Oh, I would celebrate it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Don't be in any rush.
No, I'm
to
not.
To do anything with it. But anyways, when I say this is so CFL, in a great way, to have Lynch tell his story about Lancaster, and people write in and have fact-checked and found the answer and have players from the game write in, and everything's together. And I had my buddy from the Hall of Fame write, and he wants John Chick's number. And this whole intimacy of the CFL, and that's a term that I've taken from Travis Lule. It was his term, not mine. And he didn't invent it, but he might have popularized it. It has gone missing, in my opinion, over the last while. You know,
mm-hmm.
what we love about it. And are you going to be the big corporate thing, or are you going to be the intimate thing? And when I say, and I'm going to clarify this in my 10 things column tomorrow, that it's a minor league with a major exposure, the CFL, doesn't mean that it's minor talent. I firmly believe the coaches in the Canadian Football League are just as good as the National Football League or the top divisions of NCAA. No doubt. It's friends of friends. It's opportunities. You know how it is.
Oh, yeah.
So to say it's minor league, that's not an insult. But do you think the CFL, as they sit there in Toronto, operating on half a staff that they had a month ago, wants to get back to the intimate nature of the CFL? Do you think that is a goal of theirs?
No.
I don't think they do.
No. Should they? Maybe.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to take this back to when I was in broadcasting for the first time in, 06 in Rosetown. And I rolled into Rosetown Kindersley, FM station, or FM-AM split. But I was on the AM channel. And it was local first. That was the plan. That was their mandate.
Yep.
Local first. And so I'm sitting there reading the Rosetown Red Wings senior hockey scores. And then I'm talking about the high school football team. And then I get to the Saskatoon Blades because we kind of reach into the edge of Saskatoon. And then the NHL. And I'm 19 years old thinking, what are we doing? The NHL's way bigger. Why am I reading the minor hockey scores and everything else? It should be NHL first. Then it should be CFL. Then it should be other football. And then we tag it with the local stuff. I thought I knew better. Quickly did I realize everybody else is doing that. Other people are doing that. The reason that we're successful and that people listen to the channel is for local information first. Go to TSN, go to Sportsnet, go to shows like this for the national stuff. They listen for that first, and then they get the sprinkle of the national stuff at the end. So realizing what you are and what your competitive advantage is, so important. CFL, that intimate nature, our game, the three, like all those things that make the CFL, that is what is the CFL's their competitive advantage. But yet you get people coming in, well, we got to be the NFL. We got to do what they're doing, and we got to do what the other people are doing because they're having success. Well, no, they're having success doing their thing. You have success doing your thing. You know, there's a lack of self-awareness around the CFL right now, complete lack of self-awareness. Once they dial into what that is, then they'll be able to have success.
Pretty good way to end the show because it's how we started it with my very first point. Alouettes owner Gary Stern says they'll play in 2021. While everybody's propping champagne corks and getting excited, and I can see why players and coaches thinking, oh yeah, the owner of Montreal said we're going to play. I don't see it that way. I'd like to sit down with them and say, what makes you think that? Because if it's just a continuation of CFL 1.0 where we are right now, I'm not excited about that. And I don't believe it's going to happen. God bless Gary Stern. Seems like a hell of a guy. But as long as they don't know who the roots are or don't care who the roots are,
yeah,
I don't want to see this. I want to see it burned to the ground and rebuilt with the knowledge of what they are and honoring the past, but with exciting, what should I say? Out of the box, creative ways to promote the league,
mm-hmm.
newfound ways.
Yeah,
that's what I want to see. If it's just what we got now, carried over to 2021 on a shoestring budget again, not interested. Sorry.
Completely. And that's what made, you know, Rough Rider football so great when I was a kid, is simply the fact that I could walk down the street and there was people selling hot dogs on their front lawn. And then you had the tailgate party and you had everybody involved in making it great. It was a community team and a community game day, and everybody shared in it. And the riders made their money on their merchandise and money on game day tickets and money on programs and stuff. But they let everybody else celebrate in it, too. And when they can, when other businesses can make money and individuals can sell, you know, hot dogs and things like that, you know, and have tailgate parties, then they're interested and they're coming to the table to try and promote this thing. This is not the NFL. This is not Toronto Raptors or Maple Leafs hockey, where the game is so big that people are just going to buy it and fill the seats and you got a waiting list 10 miles long. You have to get everybody involved. Be Canada's league.
That's why I fear for the future, because not everybody can agree on where it's going. That's all. And I've talked with major corporations across this country that have dealt with the league and individual teams and said, Rod, they don't care about the history. And the worst, well, they don't know about it and they don't care. That's not a recipe for success.
No.
Business of the week for MySask. We do it every week. The MySask app. It is a phone book in your hand. I have it on my main screen. MySask 411. It is TG Marketing. It's the MySask 411 Business of the Week. You know what TG stands for? Tom and Gail, the founders. There's one for you.
Cool.
TG Marketing has proudly provided service and excellence in the promotional marketing industry in Regina since 1985. It is your one-stop shop for any promotional merchandise for your business or organization. Visit their showroom full of products to promote your business to your clients today. And better than that, I got to know them through the Pats golf tournament 25 years ago. We connected with TG Marketing, bonded over the Pats, and here we are 25 years later, stronger than ever with TG Marketing. They can put your logo on just about anything. TG Marketing. Look at them up on the MySask business app. TG. Cool.
Cool.
We're done. We're out of here. We'll see you Monday, 10 a.m. Mountain on Facebook Live and Game Plus TV.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.